Find a resting place. appreciate Pastor Stevenson, always a blessing, amen. And I tell you, I always get blessed too just to get here and be in Brother Murphy's Sunday school class. And I tell you, it's just like going to Bible college. I tell you, you're missing out if you, you know, I'm not trying to yank you out of your other Sunday school class, but if you ain't getting in on any of them, you need to try that one, amen. Get a real blessing, but good to be saved. We did just finish over at Jackson CI, and of course, we're just laborers together. I tell folks I'm just old Tim Martin, saved by the grace of God. Amen. Ain't better than nobody else. And, you know, we just, a lot of times we go in these prisons and really we get to enter into somebody else's labor. Just like y'all's church might have a service and been a praying and a preaching, and we come and give some planting and water, and God just always gives increase. And of course, across the miles in these prisons, there's always probably a mama or a wife or a loved one. They've spent a lot of time on their knees praying somebody had reached their loved one. And God just, I appreciate the Lord how He called us to be that one to go in and just to sow the seed, amen, and cast the bread upon the waters. But God did give a good meeting there at Jackson because for years now, it's just seemed like about the last 2 years, we've had some good meetings, don't get me wrong, but the crowds are usually in the 30s, 40s kind of went down, and a lot of times seem like you just, like my pastor says, you got that big subsoil or you're breaking up some big ground. But this time we had 106 in a service, and we didn't have any service that got below the 70, 75 range, and just a lot of men getting help. And we had 9 men to get saved in the meeting this week over there at Jackson. Had a blessing. The second night of the meeting, we was doing the main unit during the day. We had 2 services a day, plus after the morning time, we'd go to lockdown, visit lockdown, then come right back, grab some crackers and a soda out of the canteen, and then go back into another service. So just kept a good full day and then had nighttime. But the second night of the meeting there at the work camp, there was a man, I noticed why I was a preaching, and of course I was laboring with some other missionaries, not just me doing all the preaching, we're laboring together. But that night I was preaching, and there was a young man, I say young man, he's probably in his 30s, and I'm 44 now, so I can say young man, you know. Some of y'all younger and some older, but I'm 44, but I got 3 grandbabies, amen. I say, when you get married in middle school, but no, I didn't get married that young, though, amen. But we did get married young, but thank God this year my little wife would be married 25 years, amen. Thank God for my wife, and that's all because of the grace of God. But I was a preaching, and I noticed the Lord dealing with that man, and I kept thinking, he looks awful familiar. He looks so, because, you know, you go prison after prison, and sometimes you kind of build a rapport with guys over the years, and with so much transition. But that gentleman, the invitation, he come, and one of our missionaries dealt with him, and he's over there bawling like a baby, got saved by the grace of God. And I know you don't have to cry when you get saved. Everybody's emotionally different. But I like one preacher said, when the Holy Ghost squeezes your heart real good and tight, it'll pop out your eyeballs. Amen. But he got saved, and here's what blessed me about it. He come over to me afterwards, and then I started remembering him. Well, he said, can I talk to you a minute? And I started remembering, hey, wait a minute, I remember this guy. He said, preacher, I've been waiting a year to apologize to you. And I said, yeah. I said, I remember. He said, yeah, over at Graceville, at the main prison. He said, you had to jump onto me because I was disrupting and acting up back there. I said, I remember. He said, yeah, you wrote my name down. I said, well, I want to tell you why I wrote your name down for. He said, I already know why you wrote my name down. I said, why? He said, because you was going to pray for me. I said, yeah. I said, some of them other guys thought I was reporting them, amen. Because there's a couple of them acting up over in the corner of that same service. I walked over. I said, hey, sir, what's your name? He said, why you want to know my name? I said, don't get smart. Don't question. Give me your name. Because, I mean, they was really causing some bad disruption. And then the other guy, I said, what's your name? He said, I ain't telling you. I said, you tell me right now, what's your name? And I took it down, and I just walked away. And at the end of the service, they said, what are you going to do with those names? I said, I'm telling my friend about it. And one guy said, oh, man, I'm sorry, preacher. I'm ADD. I can't pay attention. I didn't mean you. Amen. But my friend's Jesus. Amen. But I'm glad that God got a hold of his heart. And I tell you, that's reconciliation, trying to make restitution. But he come back the next night, had his Bible, excited. And he come up to me. He said, preacher, I'm trying the best I can to run from that old life now. Amen. And so that just blessed my heart to see some good fruit. And also, I was teaching class the other morning. And I mentioned how my birthday was at the beginning of the month, and I was joking with him. I said, I'm still here a few days if y'all want to get me something, honey buns, ramen noodles, you know, crackers. But one of the inmates made me a card, and it was just a blessing. He said, Happy B-Day, Brother Tim. And I won't read it all, but, of course, we taught some classes, and he wrote down integrity, character, simplicity. And he put a thought in here. He said, throughout life, people will make you mad and treat you bad. He said, let God deal with the things they do and to cause hate in your heart so it will not consume you. He said, your friend at Jackson CI, and then he put on here, he cut a piece out of Time magazine. He said, your time is now. Preach on, brother. Amen. And I'm telling you, if you would have seen the rascal that handed me that, he's tattooed from head up to head down, been in and out of juvenile, in and out of prison, but he got saved and loves Jesus now. And I don't know if he'll ever get out of there, but he got in with God. Amen. And praise God. But and some come in, and a couple of young, the children here, usually maybe 12 and under, but one lady I said had one daughter 11, but nowadays, I guess you get 10 to 12, you outgrow coloring books. But I joke with a sister that's saying, my wife, she still loves coloring color books. I bought her a big old Barbie one a couple years ago. She liked doing it, amen. But we got these new coloring books at Rock of Ages. I know I'd give out some here before about what is a missionary. But Brother Bellamy in our juvenile team, he's got a great one now. It's called Let's Learn About Forgiveness. And it's a great tool. Especially getting these in the hands of children in public schools, and they take it home to mom and daddy. And in the back, it's even got like a little thing about the parents' page. So then parents will read that and see what it means about being saved and stuff. And he put like a little game in there. But you say, well, that's childish. Out of the mouth of babes, amen. Except you humble yourself as a little child, and you got to keep it down when people can get it. But anyways, this little thing, all through here, though, it says one way, one way, one way. So he's pointing toward repentance, amen. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. But we was coming out of prison yesterday, Saturday, visitation day, and I noticed a lady, she looked really sad leaving, you know. You could just tell, leaving that visit with her boyfriend, husband, or whoever. But she had three little ones, and she's trying to get them all through the parking lot and keep them in a car, look rough and everything. And I said, hey, ma'am, could I give three of these to them little babies to read going down the road? And she said, well, I appreciate that. And so I tell you, you never know. Just sow that seed everywhere you can. But I bought a box of those, and I got more in the pew there if y'all want to get one of those for one of your children afterwards. And I got some right here, and I got a little more out there if we need them. But just a great tool the ministry is using now. I won't lay that because I don't get to hitting it or something. But Rock of Ages, of course, I just handed Pastor my prayer letter. If you want to turn your Bible, maybe give you a thought here in just about a half hour. We'll look at this and then two, three more hours. Yeah, some of you is like, uh-oh. But Luke chapter 1, and then I'm probably going to go back in Genesis chapter 6 and maybe read a little bit there, and maybe even 5 and 6 and Luke 1, and I'll give you a thought. But church, we do appreciate y'all letting us be a part of your mission outreach. Matter of fact, of course, this week we had 9 saved, but the week before, last week, we was up in Alabama at the crusade Rock of Ages has every year in Montgomery, and we had roughly 100 laborers coming together. And just like Brother Murphy alluded to in Sunday school, that's what we need. We need men, we need ladies, we need laborers, amen. Folks that in ministry, it is sacrifice. You know, Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. These ain't our crown wearing days, these are cross bearing days, laboring for the Lord. And of course, there's joy in labor, amen. You might get weary in it, but there's great joy in it. But most of the mornings I wake up tired and just go anyways, amen. And it ain't how I feel, amen. We go on by faith. Boys up there had a great meeting. Had about 100 of us laboring together from different churches around the country coming up there. We was in 9 facilities. A total of over 1,600 inmates that attended the services in those 9 facilities. And we had 192, if I remember, said they got saved up there in the prison. Now, I was coordinating a prison called Elmore Correctional. It's like A, B, C units there. And I was able to go into all the units. And with my team, I had 15 men on the team. And we was able to witness and give out the gospel and share there. And God gave the increase with 10 saved there at Elmore. And just had a good meeting. Now, one of the meetings, Actually, over at Staten Correctional, we had a team of men over there, and I think they might have had 20 or more on their team, some preachers, some just laymen giving testimonies. One service, they had about six messages, just one after another, just machine gun preaching, amen? Brah, brah, just preaching the word. But when they was walking around on visitation, they had an officer in the prison that was walking with them. And one of the men from North Carolina on the team handed that officer a tract. And he noticed as the officer walked around, he'd read it. Another guy gave him some material the next day or so. And anyways, that same officer, they just kept talking to him, witnessed to him. And he was in one of the services, and during the service, they noticed he seemed troubled. One of the men on the team walked over to him and said, "Have you ever really been saved?" And he said, "Well, no, I ain't really settled," basically, you know, something like that. And he said, "But I've been reading what y'all been giving me." He said, "Well, would you like to get it settled tonight?" And the officer said, "Yeah." And the officer bowed in the service and got saved. Amen. Huh? That don't happen very often. But that was a blessing. Had an officer saved up there in that revival meeting. But be praying. We'll be over in Sneed's later this week. We would have been starting the reception tomorrow, but had something going there. We've been facing that in some of the institutions, especially the hurricane, canceled some meetings and different things. And of course, I know a lot of you and loved ones and friends have gone through a lot in this area, and you've been in our prayers. We're actually going to be helping over at Grace Baptist this week. Pastor there a few days doing some work around the church since, you know, our meeting got changed a little because we won't start till later in the week. And instead of going home, we're just going to try to be a help around the church there and be a blessing. But just appreciate the goodness of the Lord. Amen. I tell you this, no complaints at all. And maybe I shouldn't even share this, but it's funny now. I can laugh now. But I pulled in. I got 30 minutes from town. We're staying over there in Quincy at Grace Baptist. Had some other missionaries that came in and labored. And, of course, they went on now. But I got one more coming back later in the week to help. But I got 30 minutes the other night from getting in town. My wife called me. She said, and we got revival was going on in our church. I got a couple days of it. But she said, "I got a toilet bubbling and the other one's overflowing." I said, "Well, you know, we got the woods out back." That I can talk big when I'm about 5 hours down the road, amen. And she said, "Well, something's wrong." Anyways, the next morning she called back and she said, "The tubs are filled up and it wasn't with just white water," amen. But I said, "Well, what do you want me to do?" And she said, "I don't know." I said, "Well, I'll pray." And long story, I had to call, got that all straightened out. But you know, I thank God for a good wife, amen. Not one time did she say, "Hey, you need to get on back home. Don't you cancel that meeting." She was just doing what she could to hold the fort there. And, of course, I was calling for reinforcements across the way. Amen. And I thank the Lord for that, taking care of that. I remember one time went on a revival. I can tell you story after story, but we was in South Florida doing a revival. And, of course, we just laugh now because I figure every time. I told the guys when I got there, I said, "Man, we're going to have a good revival." I said, "Because the toilets are overflowing, amen, and there's opposition. The devil, he's already trying to get me to go back home, you know." We was in South Florida one time and called, and she said, "Well, the hot water heater's out." And I said, "Well, you want me to come home?" She said, "No, don't you come home." She said, "You stay down there and preach." And I said, "What are you going to do?" She said, "I'll boil the water till you get home, amen." I tell you, that's a good wife, amen. I thank God for my wife putting up with me. Matter of fact, when I finished Bible college, Brother Stennett Blue and Pastor Allen gave my wife a certificate. It was called the PhD Award, putting him through, amen. I couldn't have made it through Bible college without my wife. You know, I'd work in 60, 70 hours a week during the day, going nights a week, and finished up and still don't know nothing. Amen. I need to go again. But over here in Luke, I know I'm a rattling on. I'm just glad I'm saved. Amen. I talk to so many folks that say they're saved, but they are to tell their face about it. Amen. Because their face hadn't figured it out yet. They say it takes more muscles to frown than it does to smile. Amen. That's why some folks go to bed so tired. They frowned all day long. They're wore out. Amen. So smile a while and you'll sleep better. Praise God. I tell the guys in prison, I said, "I realize you ain't at the Marriott. I realize this ain't the best food and it could be a little bit better. I said, but go around smiling and make the devil think you're having a good time." I said, he'll stay so confused he won't know what to do. Amen. But Luke chapter 1, verse 26, it says, "In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee." Luke 1, verse 27 on down, it sent into a city of Galilee named Nazareth. Now in verse 27, it says, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Notice in back in verse 28, the middle part here, it says, hail, thou art highly favored. Highly favored. Then in verse 30, the latter part, it says, for thou hast found favor with the Lord. Favor with the Lord. Now let's go back, and we'll jump back here to Luke in just a moment. When we think about this word favor and favored. Favor and favored. I begin to look back in Genesis 6 and verse 8. Of course, Genesis is a seed plot of the Word of God. Amen. You'll build doctrine from Genesis, and as you find doctrine, it'll build all the way through to Revelation. Genesis being the creation of all things, Revelation being the consummation of all things. But as I look in Genesis 6, 8, here's another person, it says, that found this thing of favor. You say, where does it say that? Well, in verse 8 it says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That word grace, it means favor. It means favor. And we see here's a man that found favor. The word grace or favor brings with the meaning to bend down or to stoop down. And you think about that. The God of glory, He's favored us. He bent down, if you would. He stooped down. You say, how is that? Well, the Bible says, though He was rich, yet for your sake He became poor, that you through His poverty might be made rich. That's favor, amen? The divine became partaker with the human, that the human might be partaker with the divine. That's grace. That's favor. Thank God that He stooped down, that He bent down. And of course, that wouldn't say that He lost a bit of His power. Amen. But as I look, here's a man named Noah that found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Verse 8. Verse 9 says, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. Here's a man that found favor with God. And after he found favor, he walks with God. As I look back, a similar phrase in chapter 5, verse 21. Here's a man prior to Noah, his name was Enoch. And we look at Enoch, the Bible said in verse 21 of Genesis 5, and Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. We know that to be a picture of the rapture, amen? Enoch, really looking at the age compared to others as Methuselah, he lived a young life. And the Lord took him 365 years. But notice, as I got to look at this, and Brother Murphy might help me later, but I see he was 65 years old, and then he began to walk with God. So as I look at that, I believe he was 65 when he got saved. Amen? Ain't nobody walks with God till they get saved. Amen? A lot of people try to walk for God, but they fall on their face every time. I can't walk the Christian life because it's the Christ life. It's His life in me. Amen? A lot of people trying to become a Christian, you got to be made a Christian. Amen? He gives us His life. I had no life. Amen? But Jesus said, I've come that you might have life. He said, I want to give you myself. tonight. Amen. I want to favor you. I want to show you grace. I want to pour myself into you. That's what it is. And I believe Enoch, God poured himself into that man's life at 65. That's what gave him all he needed to live 300 more years walking with God. Amen. Ain't no way a man can walk with God 300 years without grace. Amen. Ain't no way that Noah would build for 120 years when the world had never saw rain upon this globe. All the earth did was give up a mist of water. And he's saying, God's going to flood. The rains are coming. They said, you crazy old man, you might as well drop your plows and your hammers and everything and mixing all these things and building this ark. What, you're wasting your time. No, he said, I'm not wasting time because I'm following the word of the Lord. Amen. You never waste time when you follow the word of the Lord. There's sometimes God will give you a word and you don't understand it. Hey, you ain't got to understand it. When you understand it, that ain't faith. Amen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You might not figure it all out, but we'll understand it all by and by. Amen. But when you step out on God, you're never wrong. And he was building that ark, and thank God, and there's all the preaching there you've heard over the years, but he got him and his family in. Amen. He got him. And one thing about it, I like what one preacher said, they might have fell down in the ark, but they never fell out of the ark. Amen. You might fall down along this Christian journey, but we'll never fall out of faith. Amen. As I get to thinking about here now, I'm just trying. Now stick with me here. I'll build this fast and we'll go eat, and then y'all can nap and come back for more. Amen. or whatever y'all do. But I thought about, here's a man, the Enoch. He found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He found favor. But here in our context today, here's a lady. And we see in a moment, we'll see there's the Lord and there's the land in this text. And we see the picture of the favor and the grace of God. Grace in the eyes of the Lord. As I begin to look at this, it talks about the lady. The lady in these verses in Luke chapter 1. I see the lady, the Lord came to her. The Lord came to her. And how did he do that? He sent Gabriel. I was reading just this past week over there in Revelation 10. It talks about that angel in Revelation 10 when he steps one foot on the earth and one foot on the sea. And of course, I believe some commentators refer to that being Jesus. I believe if you'll really study the context, I just believe it's an angel. I take the Bible literally what it says, an angel, amen. I know in the Old Testament the Lord's referred to as the angel of the Lord, but I can show you some things in that verse. If you'll look at it, you might think, well, it is just an angel, amen. And I believe the Bible don't say, but it could possibly be Gabriel, amen. Maybe it is Gabriel because he did bring a message here to Mary, and maybe he was the one giving a message there to John about the latter half of that tribulation period that's taking place. All halfway's gone, and he said it ain't going to be long, the rest of it. And he talks about swallowing that book. Why? The judgment of God. Boy, it is bitter to those that don't know the Lord, amen. But the word of God and the plan of God is sweet to those that do know the Lord, amen. I tell you, this Bible, as it goes out, it'll be bitter to you or it'll be sweet. This Bible will go out and you'll realize you'll drink the cup of God's indignation and wrath one day, or you'll drink of him in the cup of salvation. Amen. Realizing he tasted death for every man. He took our death. He took that cup of sin. Amen. He died the just for the unjust that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh but quickened by the Spirit. I'm telling you, what a mighty Lord we serve today. And our mighty Lord sent a mighty angel down in our text to a little old lady. Now I know Mary was a very fine lady. Of course, some people say that Mary was on the back side of the cross. One writer said that, and Jesus was on the front side of the cross. But the thing is, that's nowhere found in the Word of God. Amen. Mary was a very fine lady. Mary wasn't a perfect lady. She was a sinner just like you and I that needed a Savior. Matter of fact, she says, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, my Savior, my God." She gives glory to Jesus Christ, never to herself. Amen. But as I thought about grace in the eyes of the Lord, and we've all found grace in the eyes of the Lord. I just walked in here again this morning, heading to Sunday school, and I said, Lord, just a blessing, amen. You've given this church, a people of God, a beautiful place to worship, amen. Huh? Praise God, man, you ought to be running the aisles, climbing the pews, amen. Thank God for a place to gather. There's people hid out in the back room of a cellar over in China today, fearing for their life, gathered around, just trying to have a place to worship God. But here in America, we got places we can still just shout the victory, amen. You ain't got to duck your head going out the doors today. You can go down the road singing and shouting amazing grace, amen. Hey, but if we don't lay down and back up and don't thank God, hey, it may tighten up tomorrow. Well, we don't have the liberties we have. We ought to thank God for the liberty. Thank God for His grace, amen. His favor that He's showed in this great nation. Maybe America ain't what it ought to be, amen. I've had people in prison come up and complain. I said, well, sir, if we can raise the money, we'll get you a plane ticket and get you on out of here, amen. But I want to tell you, I still thank God. It ain't what she used to be. Ain't what we could be. Hey, but we are to rejoice in the favor and the grace of God. And as I look, here's a lady that God came to her. Notice how He came to her. He sent Gabriel, one of His mighty angels, down. It says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God. I tell you, you don't get a true message unless God sends the message, amen? There's a lot of people on these TVs and airways nowadays, they're sending forth a lot of wrong messages that never came from God, amen? And if they ain't out of this old black book 66, amen, this canon, you better run from it. But as I thought about the lady here, He came to her. I see God sending His grace. God sending His grace. The lady, the Lord came to her through the angel Gabriel. As I was reading and putting this together, think about the man of God or the saint of God that God used to send the message of grace to you. Amen. The one that come to witness to you, to tell you about the Lord Jesus Christ. Huh? The one that took time maybe to knock on your door, Pastor Steverson, and maybe some of you here today because he spent hours way in the morning on his knees praying God would shine that gospel light into your heart. Amen. I don't know if we had time to hear everybody's testimony. There was a little unusual when I first got saved. I was going to Grace Baptist Church in Petersburg, Virginia. And of course, our church, you know, and not everybody, I realize not everybody is the same as me, amen? But I got saved, and now my pastor, I never heard him shout or anything, but he always get to crying and raising his hands, amen? He'd raise them hands and get to crying. And of course, y'all heard me say it before, my wife, when it gets on, she'll raise that little hand, get to crying. Of course, over a year ago, we was in a missions meeting, I was sitting in the back of the church, and I heard a lady up in that choir go, "Woo!" Man, I looked around the person in front of me and I had to go like this. That's my wife. Boy, I ain't never heard her do that. She come unglued, but I believe God filled her up, brother. She's been different ever since, amen. I'm telling you, God did something special up in that choir that day, amen. Huh? I realize you ain't got to do that to get full of God, but it sure wouldn't hurt you none either, amen. But anyways, I was there at Grace, and man, I get to shouting and crying, and I never forget Grandma Watson. She'd come up to me, and she'd say, "Son, don't you ever quit shouting. Don't you ever quit enjoying the Lord." She said, "No matter what anybody says, if they don't like it," she said, "don't let it hinder you." She'd always encourage me. But what's funny about Grandma Watson, now she grew up in a little country church out there in the hills of Virginia, and the pastor passed away. And so for weeks, if not a few months, nobody else could hardly read the Bible and preach, so the pastor's wife would get up and do devotion and kind of preach a little. Now, I don't believe in women preachers, amen, because it's hard for a woman to be the Bible said the bishops to be the husband of one wife. So how could a woman be the husband of one wife? I know we live in a generation, they're trying to, anyways, but it ain't going to work. It ain't going to work, amen, praise God, shame on the devil's crown. No, Grandma Watson, it shows you it was the grace of God that saved Grandma Watson because the word of God went out, amen. I know the Lord got them straightened out down the way and they got them a real preacher, amen. Huh? But I'm just saying, here's a lady, though, just like Grandma Watson, she found grace. God sent a messenger to her. Thank God for messenger. Thank God for a Brother Murphy to go into a prison in a week weekday and spend time just to send out the message of God's grace and mercy and love to a hopeless group of men that everybody said, you're an outcast, you're undone, you ain't worthy. But there's a God in heaven that stoops down and says, hey, they don't deserve it, but I want to go and show them the riches of my love, the riches of my grace. Hey, a lot of times we get to thinking we're something, we need to look back in the mirror and take a double look, amen, and remember where the Lord got us from. Remember when the Lord stooped down and reached down like the preacher said, and he lifted us out of that miry clay and planted our feet on the heavenly way, amen. There's so much here, I got to move. This lady, God sent a message to her. Gabriel came down. But not only that, the sight of God's grace. Not only the messenger, the God sending of his grace, but I see the sight of his grace in verse 26. The Bible says, and he sent from God unto the city of Galilee, named Nazareth. The site where God chose to send his message to this lady was Nazareth. At this time, I was reading a lot of different commentaries and things, and a lot of them were saying the population of Nazareth could have possibly only been maybe 150 to 200 people in the days of Christ. So it wasn't a big old city. It wasn't a real famous place. Matter of fact, Nazareth was a place where a lot of the Roman soldiers would go to hang out. It was more of an unseemly place that would draw crowds, amen? But matter of fact, it was a place where just common folk, sheep herders, carpenters, just common folk. You'll get a hold of that down the road later this week, amen? God chose a place to show and send a message of his grace to common folk, amen? Huh? Not because of what they had to offer him, not because of what they could do for him, but because of what he had to offer them and what he wanted to do for them, amen? Here we are. I was coming last month. I was in town. Amen. I slipped into home CI. Slipped in prison and out. Come in. Brother Keith James, one of our other missionaries, he's starting to work some of the prisons Brother Kelly did. But I come down to help him there a couple days. But I told Brother Keith, I said, there's a good church right there down past the Waffle House. Good men of God and folks in there. And I said, they'll go in prison with you. They love the inmates. I said, you need to go by and meet them and get them to go to prison with you. They'll help you. He said, where is that church? I said, it's right down that road, brother. And about every day, he said, now, where is that church? I said, right down that road, brother. But I thought about coming this morning. There's hundreds of people, I mean, if not 1,000 people by the time we end this service, that'll just go up and down and back and forth on I-10, passing this exit, that'll never know about you folks, that never know about this church. And it's just right down here on the side of the road. Most folks don't even know about you. Most folks don't even know where it's at. But there's a God in heaven, amen. He looks down at a bunch of common folks and he says, I want to stoop down. I want to bend down. I want to pour out my grace in their life. I want to show them favor. I want to help them with their burdens and their trials and their troubles and tears and their fears. God says, I want to come by and help that crowd. I want to come by and do something with that little lady, amen. Hey, today, God in heaven, he wants to come your way. He wants you to receive his message, and he looks at an unseemly place. Matter of fact, it was one of the disciples said in John 1:46, Nathanael, he said, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Can there any good thing come out of Calvary Baptist Church? Oh, yes, there can, because of the grace of God. Amen. I mean, before I got saved, I had that old long hippie hair, and I hate to tell you, I had that long dangling earring, and I'm ashamed of that. My sin is always shameful. And I had a lot of other things I ain't going to tell you. I might have told you one time, old Harry Bramlett at church, preacher. I might have told y'all this, old Brother Bramlett, I was shaking hands at church, and he's with the Lord now. But Brother Bramlett, he looked up and he said, son, you used to have holes in your ear? I said, yeah, I did a lot of bad things before I got saved, brother. And I said, but the Lord took me out of a wicked life. He said, I wouldn't have liked you if you was wearing an earring like that. I said, well, I wouldn't have liked you either, brother. But it got saved by the grace of God, and we love each other, amen. Huh? Praise God, I got an old-fashioned religion that makes me love everybody. It's called the grace of God, amen. Paul, he had a little bit of that old-time religion, amen. What was it? A relationship with the God of grace and the God of glory, amen. It was a place unseemly. There was a lot of good come out of Nazareth, amen. God's brought his grace into the world in that lowly manger that day. Wrapped in swaddling clothes, the bread of life. Taste and see the Lord is good. I see not only the side of grace, the sending of grace, but the subject of God's grace that day. As he sends this angel to talk to Mary, I was amazed, brother. I'd never caught this before. Of course, I'm slow. I'm like more on the caboose, but I'm on the right track. Amen. But I looked up that word Mary. And of course, the word Mary there is used in a lot of other ways in the same form in the original there. But Mary, her name meant rebellion, I read in the Strong's. Rebellion. I'd never read that before. You ever saw that, brother? I was amazed when I saw. And here, of course, then I thought about the Catholics, how they worship Mary. But the Bible shows she's had a rebellion. Show you she's just a sinner like anybody else. But so God chose a lady, God chose an unseemly place, and God chose a subject with a name that meant rebellion. You realize, God, we were all rebels without Jesus Christ. We were in rebellion against God. The natural-minded man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Pastor, you've been in this thing much longer than I have, brother. But over the years, you can preach and you can look around and you can tell some of them are looking at you strange. Amen. They don't understand the grace of God. Amen. I can look around in those crowds in those prisons and you can still see that rebellious spirit about a man. But then you can see when that grace of God begins to work in a man's heart and he begins to humble himself before a holy God, boy, you start seeing that brokenness begins to kick in, amen? That remorse and that repentance. But I see here was the lady, but real quickly this morning, not only did he came to her, but he chose her. The Bible said in verse 28, it says, "And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." I got to look, and not only did he came to her, but he chose her. As I looked at that verse 28, it says, "Hail, thou art highly favored." The word hail, it means to rejoice, to be happy. This angel looks at Mary, this one that her name means rebellion, this one that's just a common lady. And he says, "Mary, you are to be happy. Mary, you ought to rejoice because God has favored you. God has stooped down to choose you." Amen. Now, I don't believe in the frozen chosen. I believe he's chosen whosoever will. You can get in on the goodness and the grace of God if you're willing. Amen. Huh? But I'm telling you, God, he said, "Hail, rejoice, cheer." And that phrase, highly favored, it means to be filled with grace. He said, "Mary, God has filled you with favor. God has filled you with grace." The word highly, it means to be compassed about. Everywhere you go, you've got God's grace. Amen. Huh? You say, "Why didn't I die in that wreck, you know? And you know what? Why am I even breathing his air today?" Because you're compassed about with his grace. Amen. Huh? Well, the Bible talks about them angels unawares. You know, they probably had to keep moving around as I preach. Amen. I don't know. Praise God. But I'm saying we're compassed about. He had a hedge about Job. And we think about his grace. He granted her grace. But not only that, as he chose her, he granted her grace. But he's the God of grace. This angel says to her, he says, "Mary, the Lord is with thee. The Lord is with thee." When we think about how we found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Matter of fact, when I got this message, I was actually riding out of Missouri and I just got to crying and thanking God where he brought me from and thanking the Lord for his blessings on my life. I was about to have a time in that van going down the road through Kentucky out of Missouri. Amen. Just thanking the Lord for this and thanking the Lord for that. And I got thinking about grace in the eyes of the Lord. It just come in my mind. And that's what got my heart studying on this one message right here. Grace, grace in the eyes of the Lord. And matter of fact, I got my phone out. Some of y'all might do that. And I started Googling. Googling, I typed in grace in the eyes of the Lord, and the first thing that come up on my phone was a song by the Statler Brothers. Now, you may be a Statler Brothers fan. I ain't going to fuss at you. I don't know a whole lot about the Statler Brothers, amen. But all it brought up was they were singing a song, Grace in the Eyes of the Lord, amen. And I don't know how much of the grace of the eyes of the Lord them guys found, but I'm glad I found grace in the eyes of the Lord, amen. You ought to be glad you found grace in the eyes of the Lord, amen. The Lord is with thee is what the angel said. Hey, and the Bible said, if God be for us, who can be against us, amen. Hey, one man and God's a majority. The Bible said, no weapon formed against thee shall prosper, amen. I'm telling you, the Lord's with us. And he said, I'm the Lord, I change not, amen. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But I see he's the God of grace, but we see the gift of grace. He said, blessed art thou among women. Mary, you are to have yourself a spell. You are to realize God is all around you. God is fixing to be all in you. You are to just rejoice and thank God. Amen. So not only I see that, but I see that he comforted her. Real quick, this morning, verse 29 and 30, when we think about grace in the eyes of the Lord, he comforted her. Verse 29 and 30, here's Mary. And I could imagine, I mean, an angel comes out of heaven and says, God has chosen you to put himself into. Now, you'll get a hold of this later on. Look at this. Comfort her. Verse 29 and 30. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. As I got to look at that verse, here's Mary looking at this angel, receiving this message about what God wants to do with her, and she's troubled. As I thought about that, she was full of perception, though, because the Bible said when she saw him. So she's looking right at this angel. She's full of perception. She sees him, and she hears him. Just like today, you see me, you hear me. That's pretty simple preaching, amen. Full of perception. Matter of fact, we open our Bible, we read it, and we see truth. And we perceive truth. And we've got the truth, we've got all the answers. Then why are we still full of trouble? He's looking right at Mary saying, here's what God's going to do. And then she's troubled about it. Same thing we do. God will speak to us, God will show us something, and we get troubled. We're full of perception, but then we're full of problems. We're troubled, but then we get full of presumption. What do you mean, preacher? It says she cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. She starts what? Trying to figure it out. The message has come, here's what God wants to do. Me? How? Why? She's what? She's full of perception. What am I going to... Just trust God. It ain't what... Man, if I was trying to figure out what, when, where, why, and how, I'm going to go to prison and preach the gospel. I used to be a union electrician, and man, I'd go out and work and bring... And God let me bring home a good... But I got to step out on faith and just say, God, go with the message. Huh? Did I have fear? I had fear. Have I had troubles? Had troubles. But you know what? I've had the grace of God. Amen. Praise God. You say, how am I going to witness that person down the job tomorrow that the Holy Ghost said, give them this message? You just step out on God. Amen. And open your mouth wide and tell them about the goodness and grace of God. Amen. Sing them a song like the Statler Brothers. Amen. I don't know. Amen. Look at this. But it was an unnecessary fear. The angel said, fear not. Here she's all perplexed, she's all trouble. God, I don't. Why you chose me? Why do you want to do this with my life? Because our lives belong to Him. We don't belong to ourselves. When you got saved, you've been bought with a price. You say, well, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. Are you really? Are you really? You might get to the point in your life where you wished you did what He told you to do. Amen. But as I look, it was an unnecessary fear. He said, fear not. But then there was an unknown finding because the angel said, thou hast found favor. Mary wasn't looking for it. That's what grace is, amen. I wasn't looking for God, but He was looking for me, amen. He came to seek and to save them which were lost. He didn't come to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. Amen. We try to get sinners to go after God. It ain't in that man to go after God. We carry them the message in the Holy Ghost to deal with their heart. Amen. And God will work in their heart when they turn in faith and repentance. Then they can go with God. Then they'll know what it's like Enoch to walk with God, and Noah to build and labor and go with God. Why? Because they're doing it in His grace. They're doing it with His favor. They're doing it with His power. Amen. And so look, God was wanting, get this now, it was an undeserving favor. Not only an unknown finding, but it was an undeserving favor. It says, thou hast found favor with God. We don't deserve God's grace, but that's why it's grace. Amen. But then look at this. Not only did He comfort her, but God's going to conceive in her. Brother, when I saw this, preacher, get this now. It says, and when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said to her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And look at this, verse 31. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thine womb, here it is now, and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. You say, what's so exciting? Well, that's, of course, the virgin birth, one of the fundamentals of the Christian faith. But look, God's saying, Mary, God's fixing to put Himself in you, and He's going to show Himself through you to the world. You say, what's exciting about that? He did the same thing in me and you. When you got saved, God put Himself in you so He can show Himself through you to the world. Amen. This world don't need to see Tim Martin, but this world needs to see Jesus Christ. Amen. How's the world going to see Jesus? God put Himself in the child of God to carry the message of the gospel of His grace and His mercy. Amen. We're to show this world. How do we show this world God? Love. Amen. Faith and hope. That's what Paul was talking about all the way near especially the latter end of his ministry. His ministry is wrapped up in that love, faith, and hope. Amen. How do we show this world love, faith, and hope? Because we've experienced God's favor, God's grace. Amen. We've got, hey, if we lose it all, hey, and God sends some big winds by and took the whole church out and everything you got, He couldn't, hey, the devil and all of his crowd couldn't take away our faith, our love, and our hope. Amen. Praise God. I'm talking about favor. So we know we see the lady, and then we see the Lord. I won't preach all this. Amen. I heard a couple bellies on the back pew back there growling. Amen. I didn't point out which side it was, but look here, the Lord, I see not only the lady, but the Lord, He's the Lord of the Scriptures. The Bible says, and bring forth a son. You said the Lord of the Scriptures, because Micah talked about that. Said He'd be born in Bethlehem, afraid. Amen. He's the Lord of the Scriptures. It was prophesied that He would be born of a virgin there in Bethlehem. He's the Lord of salvation, and shalt call His name Jesus. Jesus means Jehovah is salvation. Amen. He is our deliverer, amen, who delivers from so great a death and doth deliver us, whom we trust He shall yet deliver us. Know that He's the Lord of the salutation. He says, and shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, amen. The sending of the Word, the Son of the womb, but He's the Savior of the world, amen. I'm talking about grace in the eyes of the Lord. When it comes to the lady, when it comes to the Lord. But not only that, you can see, hey, there's coming a land one day. I looked on verses 32 through 33, and He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. That word Son of, that shows His deity. He's one with the Father, amen. Matter of fact, them Jews were looking for the Messiah, and they knew when Messiah would come, He would be called the Son of Man or the Son of David. The voice come from heaven when Jesus was being baptized. This is My beloved Son. Amen. This is the Lord. And He's the one that's going to take us into the land one day. That millennial time. Amen. After we come back after that tribulation period. But He has a right to the land. He has right to the land. And we're in Him. That's why we know we're going to dwell with Him in that land. Amen. Forever and ever with the Lord. But the Bible says in verse 32, the Lord God shall give unto Him the throne of His father David. He has the right to that land. Verse 33, the first part, it shows that he's going to reign in the land. It says, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. Forever. We're going to roll and reign with the Lord. Matter of fact, Revelation 5 says we're going to be priests and kings unto God. We're going to reign with him, amen. The Bible said we're going to reign with him on the earth. Ever with the Lord, amen. The grace of God, amen. Not only that, he has the right to the land. He's going to reign the land, but he's going to rule the land. Ain't going to be no prisons. He's going to rule with a rod of iron. It says, and of his kingdom there should be no end. I don't know about you, but I'm just glad I found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Favor with the Lord, amen. And you know what? He's no respecter of persons this morning. You say, well, I've experienced the grace of God. I've been saved. But maybe you're going through something. You know what this morning? He giveth more grace. He giveth more grace. Matter of fact, the Bible said grace for grace. Amen. God's got plenty of favor. God's got plenty of help. God's got plenty of grace. He ain't up there sucking on tums and eating Rolaids. Amen. Twiddling his thumbs and worrying about how he's going to fix the government. Amen. Hey, he ain't up there sweating a bit. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm just glad I'm saved by the grace of God. Amen. Hey, you ought to go downtown in the middle of Bonifay this week sometime, park the car on the side of the road, get out the red light and say, hey, I've experience the grace and favor of God. Amen. Praise God. I got to quit, preacher. I'm just having to. Amen. No, I got to quit. Amen. Hey, I don't know how to give an invitation today. Amen. You want to preach a while? You're the pastor. Amen. It's good to be saved, ain't it? Amen. Praise God. Grace in the eyes of the Lord. I was up here in Missouri last fall, and I was doing a prison revival, and of course, the van out there I'm driving, you know, it's been a blessing. I had 250 and on it. I mean, it's just a good van, you know, and run to prison now instead of the other car. I got more room, especially doing them prisons in Missouri. We got 4-day meetings up here. One prison, we have about 30 hours of visitation, 8 preaching services, and we'll be up there 2 meetings in April. Looking forward to that, and then preaching out in Kansas at a church on Easter, and away out there. That's about 17 and 18 hours from home. Pray for me, amen. But we'll go out there. But anyways, I was up here in the fall in Missouri, and I tell you, I know y'all getting hungry and things, but I was up here in October, and we was doing a prison. And my dipstick in my van out there, the tip was broke off. And you can barely get it out to check the oil. And a brother on the meeting with me, he's just a volunteer and does some mechanic work. He said, brother, you can't hardly get the dipstick out of there. I said, yeah, but it's all right. I said, God'll still help you when you got a broke dipstick, you know. I said, don't matter if it's broke, you know, you get another dipstick. But anyways, he pulled it out of there and he was checking the oil with me and all. And then he said, well, I'm going to get you a new dipstick. I said, don't worry about that dipstick, brother. Ain't no big deal. I said, the van's got so many miles anyway. We'll run it till it don't run or trade it, whatever. He ain't worried about it. But anyways, he bought me a new dipstick. And the second day of the meeting, he run over there between the meeting and got it at a dealer and put it in. Then he said, wait a minute, brother. You're leaking antifreeze in the motor. I said, brother, that don't mean nothing. I just been pouring it in there for the last 6 months. He said, you've been leaking antifreeze out that block for 6 months? I said, yeah, but we've been to Missouri, to Alabama, to Tennessee. I said, all you got to do is keep adding a little bit, amen. He said, you don't do that. You're going to tear the motor up. I said, what? He said, no, that's not good. The winter's... I said, well, brother, it's okay. The Lord's going to take care of it. He said, bring it up to the house after the end of the meeting and we'll fix it up, amen. I said, well, brother, I don't. He said, just bring it up there. Long story short, he helped me fix that thing. We got it redone and all. Hey, it's just the grace of God, amen. He said, what's the moral of that message? You might have a broke dipstick, amen, but you just keep going on and God will fix the motor, amen. Huh? You might have something broke down and leaking on the inside of you, amen. You might be feeling like you're falling apart. Hey, but God will fix the dipstick and put plug wires in, get you fired up again, amen. Praise God. I didn't realize when my van broke down, I'd get a message out of it, amen. I got to get away from this pulpit, preacher. Amen.